Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravanacharya Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunja Bihari
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vajakacharya Astotara Shatashri Srimad's Divine Grace Abhayacharya Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Sri Gangamai Ki Jaya Sri Jamanamai Ki Jaya Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jaya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Radhasham Sundar Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jaya The Lordship Sri Sri Lachminashinga Dev Ki Jaya Iskandura Manrati Dham Ki Jaya Itai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Guru. And Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, the passing away of Bhishmadev, and today we'll be doing text 44. Right. Sampajamanam Agyaya Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale Sarve Babu Vuste Tusnim Vayam Shiva Dinatyaye Sampajamanam Agyaya Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale Sarve babus vute tusnim. Vayam Shiva dinachyaye. Sampajamanam agyaya. Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale. Sarve babus vute tusnim. Vayam Shiva dinachyaye. Please chant. Sampajamanam agyaya. Vishmam Brahmani Nishkale. Sarve Babu Vuste Tusnim. Vayam Shiva Dinachaye. Sampajamanam agyaya. Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale. Sarve Bhavus Puste Tusmin. Vayam Shiva Dinachaye. Sampajamanam agyaya. Vishmam Brahmani Nishkale. Sarve Babu Vuste Tusne. Vayam Shiva Dinachaye. Mutters. Sampajamanam agyaya. Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale. Sarve Babu Vuste Tusne. Vayam Shiva Dinachaye. Sampajamanam agyaya. Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale. Sarve Babu Vuste Tusnim. Vayam Shiva Dinachaye. Sampajamanam agyaya. Bhishmam Brahmani Nishkale. Sarve Babu Vuste Tusnim. Vayam Shiva Dinachaye. Word for word. Sampajamanam. Having merged into. Agyaya. After knowing this. Mine is kind of a blurred here. Bhishmam. About Sri Bhishmadev. Brahmani. Into the Supreme Absolute. Nishkale. Unlimited. Sarve. All present. Babu Vuhu. Day, all of them became Tusnim, silent. Vayamsi Eva, like birds. Dina Achyaye, at the end of the day. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Knowing that Bhishmadev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. Purport. To enter into or to become merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute means to enter the original home of the living being. The living beings are all component parts and parcels of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, and therefore they are eternally related with Him as the servitor and the served. The Lord is served by all his parts and parcels, as the complete machine is served by its parts and parcels. Any part of the machine removed from the whole is no longer important. Similarly, any part and parcel of the Absolute detached from the service of the Lord is useless. The living beings who are in the material world are all disintegrated parts and parcels of the Supreme Whole, and they are no longer as important as the original parts and parcels. They are, however, more integrated living beings who are eternally liberated. The material energy of the Lord, called Durga Shakti, or the superintendent of the prison house, takes charge of the disintegrated parts and parcels, excuse me, and thus they undergo a conditioned life under the laws of material nature. When the living being becomes conscious of this fact, he tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and thus the spiritual urge of the living being begins. This spiritual urge is called Brahma Jigyasa, or inquiry about Brahman. Principally, this Brahma Jigyasa is successful by knowledge, renunciation, and devotional service to the Lord. Jnana, or knowledge, means knowledge of everything of Brahman, the Supreme. Renunciation means detachment of material affection. And devotional service is the revival by practice of the original position of the living being. The successful living beings who are eligible to enter into the realm of the Absolute are called the Jnanis, the Yogis, and the Bhaktas. The Jnanis and Yogis enter into the impersonal rays of the Supreme, but the Bhaktas enter into the spiritual planets known as the Vaikunthas. In these spiritual planets, the Supreme Lord as Narayan predominates, and the healthy, unconditioned living beings live there by rendering loving service to the Lord in the capacity of servant, friend, parents, and fiancé. There, the unconditioned living beings enjoy life in full freedom with the Lord, whereas the impersonalists, jnanis, and yogis enter into the impersonal glowing effulgence of the Vaikuntha planets. The Vaikuntha planets are all self-illuminating like the sun, and the rays of the Vaikuntha planets are called the Brahmajyoti. The Brahmajyoti is spread unlimitedly, and the material world is but a covered portion of an insignificant part of the same Brahmajyoti. This covering is temporary, and therefore it is a sort of illusion. Bhishmadev, as a pure devotee of the Lord, entered the spiritual realm in one of the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord, in his eternal form of Parthasarathi, predominates over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which bind the Lord and devotee are exhibited in the case of Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev never forgot the Lord in his transcendental feature as the Parthasarathi, and the Lord was present personally before Bhishmadev while he was passing to the transcendental world. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Maitamiyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutala Shimati Shila Vibhava Praviti Namini Sri Sri Vinnata Vivira Padapad Pangas Jadayane Prabhupada Nupadaya Namah Shri Vibhava Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschapta Deshatani. Excuse me. So, for the purpose of New Ramana Reddy Bhagavatam class schedules and the speakers yesterday and today happens to be very auspicious as much as sad, and that is the passing away of a great Vaishnava, a great devotee, in this case Bhishma Dev. In yesterday's verse is when Bhishma Dev left this world, and today all present there are observing this incident by way of silence. So this is not something new. Even in present day society, whenever someone passes away, there is an observance of silence. So it's an ancient practice, as we've seen here in the Bhagavatam. So the life of Bhishma Dev is one of exemplary character and behavior, and he played a special role that he is not only a great devotee, but he is one of the 12 Mahajans. And a couple of verses ago, Srila Prabhupada described that not only neophyte devotees follow in the footsteps or take the example of such great Mahajan, but also pure devotees. So from this we can understand that Bhishma Dev is even way above the level of pure devotee. He is a Mahajan. So there are different levels, even in pure devotional service, there are different levels. So Srila Prabhupada very, very distinctly made this statement that neophyte and great pure devotees follow in the teachings and footsteps of one like Bhishma Dev. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada pretty much gave a crash course on the journey of the living entities, the spirit soul, through this world. So to get started, I would like to backtrack a little bit by fast-forwarding to the third canto of the Bhagavatam, whereby it's described how the living entities got here in the first place. Excuse me. So this is the third canto, chapter 26, verses 23 and 24, they're together. So the verse reads, "The material ego springs up from the Mahatattva, which evolved from the Lord's own energy. The material ego is endowed predominantly with active power of three kinds, namely good, passionate, and ignorant. It is from these three types of material ego that the mind, the senses of perception, the organs of action, and the gross elements evolve." And here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. "In the beginning, from clear consciousness, or the pure state of Krishna consciousness, the first contamination sprang up. This is called false ego, or identification of the body as self." So this is so very important, I would like to repeat it for my own purification. "In the beginning, from clear consciousness, or the pure state of Krishna consciousness, the first contamination sprang up. This is called false ego, or identification of the body as self." Continue. The living entity exists in the natural state of Krishna consciousness, but he has marginal independence. That is Tatishya Shakti. And this allows him to forget Krishna. Originally, pure Krishna consciousness exists, but because of misuse of marginal independence, there is a chance of forgetting Krishna. This is exhibited in actual life. There are many instances in which someone acting in Krishna consciousness suddenly changes. In the Upanishads, it is stated, therefore, that the path of spiritual realization is just like the sharp edge of a razor. This example is very appropriate. One shaves his cheeks with a sharp razor very nicely, but as soon as his attention is diverted from the activity, he immediately cuts his cheek because he mishandles the razor. Not only must one come to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness, but one must also be very careful. Any inattentiveness or carelessness may cause fall down. This fall down is due to false ego. From the status of pure consciousness, the false ego is born because of misuse of independence. So here is the answer. The misuse of independence. We cannot argue about why false ego arises from pure consciousness. Factually, there is always the chance that this will happen, and therefore one has to be very careful. False ego is the basic principle for all material activities which are executed in the modes of material nature. As soon as one deviates from pure Krishna consciousness, he increases his entanglement in material reaction. The entanglement of materialism is the material mind, and from this material mind, the senses and material organs become manifest. So, this gives, in a nutshell, how the living entities come to this world. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing their journey and how one moves forward. So, in the beginning, when the living entities, they misuse their independence, come to this world, they actually become lost because there is a covering that we very easily identify with, and that's the false ego. We identify with different activities of this world. And as such, we become disconnected from the activities of the Lord. Just like the parts of a machine, like a bolt, if you take it out, it becomes disconnected, and in that state, it's not useful. Not that it's useless, but it's useless in the sense that because it's not connected to the whole, then it cannot function in its designated capacity or intended capacity. Similarly, with the living entities, when they become disconnected from the service of the Lord, gets to the material world and engage in material activities, then they are considered useless in the sense that they are not connected to their original spiritual position. So, as one dangles in the material world, then he goes through this cycle from the highest planet down to the lowest, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, from Lord Brahma's planet all the way down. And he goes through this cycle of samsara. So as one goes through, then if they're fortunate enough to start thinking of their activities, where they are, why they're here, is this the right activity to perform, how can I make a change, and the whole nine yards. When one starts thinking like that, then he's opening the opportunity to make a breakthrough from this samsara, this cycle that one is engaged in. So Lord Chaitanya described this in his teachings, that he gave an example of a swift flowing stream. And in this stream, there are many sticks and little objects that are flowing down with it. And the stream is not always straight. It's kind of curved or twisted, going around bends and so forth. And these sticks and objects are flowing down, going down and down in the stream with the flow of the current, the strength of the current. But sometimes they get caught a little bit on the bank of the stream. Sometimes they're stuck for a little bit, and then the stream carries them away again, and then they become stuck, and sometimes they get permanently stuck. So he used this example to analyze how the living entity activities takes place and how they perform, how they move through this material world. That once they start thinking, it's like this piece of wood that gets stuck on the bank. So sometimes they may stop and think for a little bit, well, this activity that I'm performing is not quite right. So they get held back from this flow of this stream. But after some time, they may continue with the flow again, and till to the point where they start thinking and making the efforts, and then they're permanently stuck on the bank. Another side of this analogy also describes how, by the intervention of devotees, by the intervention of pure devotees and every devotee, that the devotee comes in touch with the conditioned souls who are lost out there and offer them this opportunity to engage back in the Lord's service, and drag them out, try to drag them as much as possible out of this swift flowing stream and out of this network. So this is called the intervening principle of the devotee. As the devotee has that nature, that compassionate nature, and they act in that capacity. Every devotee, in every way, shape, or form, they perform these activities without a doubt. So, as the living entities start becoming conscious of their situation and they start making a change, then they do so in three categories, as is described in this purport. One becomes knowledgeable, that's the jnani, and then he starts practicing. He would practice yoga and meditation. He would try to get away, develop some renunciation. That's the yogis. And then we have the bhaktas, of one who, the devotees, who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So these are the three categories that brings one out of the material clutches. So these three brings you on the absolute realm. But within that, those categories, two of them, that namely the jnanis and the yogis, as described here, they are merged into the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord. And it's described that this material world is about an insignificant portion of this Brahmajyoti. So this is how insignificant this world is. With all this described, that the material world is one-fourth of the total creation, yet it's unlimited. And even though it's unlimited, it's still an insignificant portion of the effulgence that sprouts out from the Vaikuntha planets. So this is described here also, that the Vaikuntha planets which is are the spiritual planets, they are self-illuminating. They don't need electricity for lighting and illumination. They're self-illuminating. And this illumination is the Brahma Jyoti. And in one significant portion of that Brahma Jyoti is the material world. So that's how, that to give you an idea to give a little bit of a conception of the position of the material world and its significance or insignificance in relation to the spiritual realm. So it's described that these three categories of living entities who wants to get out of this cycle of the material world, they either fall into the categories of the Gyanis, the Yogis, or the Bhaktas. So out of those, the two, the Gyanis and the Yogis, they stay within the effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti, which is not a very healthy situation either. In other parts of the Bhagavatam, it says that because they are in activity there, then they fall back down. But with the devotees, they engage in activities, they engage in service. So the actual nature of the living entity is, if properly analyzed, the inseparable quality of the living entity, analyze it, and Srila Prabhupada talks about it also, that the actual quality of the living entity is called the Dharma. So Dharma is the inseparable quality that what something has, or the living entity has, that if taken away, that object ceases to be. For example, the Dharma of water is its liquidity and wetness. So if we take away liquidity and wetness from water, it's no longer water. It cannot be considered. So that's the Dharma. Similarly, the Dharma of sugar is its sweetness. We can't say sugar is salty. You know, unless someone tricks you, like what my kids did the other day in our salt shaker. They put the little sugar in it, so when I pour it in, it was something different. So it ceases to be. So anyway, similarly, the Dharma of fire is its heat and light. If you take away heat and light from fire, it's no longer fire, it's something else. So similarly, the living entity, there is a particular quality that it possesses, or they possess, that is considered its Dharma, that if you take it away, it ceases to be, or it cannot be considered a living entity per se. So that quality, if properly analyzed, is service, that a living entity has the nature, by nature its actual Dharma, is to perform service. So, in other words, to be active is not to be dormant, is to be active. So, to be active is the way that the living entity gets its happiness. Because by nature, we are also pleasure-seeking. So we are active and we are pleasure-seeking. So how can we use these two inseparable qualities to achieve happiness? So the scriptures describe that the best way to use our this inseparable qualities is of service, and to be active is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what our problem is? Our problem is that we have the ability to serve, we have the nature to serve, but we're choosing the wrong thing or the wrong person to serve. So to come to Krishna consciousness simply means to divert that service, to switch it from serving that which cannot give you ultimate happiness to that or to who which that can give you ultimate happiness. That's all Krishna consciousness is about. It's simply diverting one's activities. It's not giving up one's activities. It's simply diverting from the wrong source to the right source. Excuse me. So, when one performs such activities, then one is transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. And in that realm, they engage in loving service to the Lord eternally. And they engage in different relationships, like friendships, servitude, as parents, as fiancé, as neutral bhaktas. So there are different relationships that one engages in. And this service, it's eternal, it's not something that stops. So, because our nature is always be happy, it's not that we would like to be happy only sometimes. Is anyone here that only likes to be happy sometimes? No, I don't think so. You know, so we want to be happy all the time. We want to be happy constantly because this is our nature. So in this material world, you find that sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're not. Or as soon as it comes, it gets taken away. But in service to the Lord, then that remains constant and eternal. So we're always, as long as we engage in that service. So again, by nature, we're independent. And when we make the right choice to be under the guidance of the Lord and His divine service, then we experience ultimate happiness. So when we choose not to engage in that service, then we come under the guidance and dictation and control of the Lord's agent, Durga Shakti. So she takes care, she's in charge, she's the superintendent of the material world. So our choices, we only have two choices. One, to be under the control of the material energy, Durga Shakti, or we can be under the control of the spiritual energy, under the Lord's guidance and the pure devotees. So there are no more other choices. Of course, there are many variegated varieties within those choices. But ultimately, it all boils down excuse me, to two choices. So it's not that we're independent. We're independent in the sense that we can choose which one we want to be controlled by. I remember once when I was little, you know, I know what I did wrong. And my mom says, well, you can be whipped by, you know, by this stick or by your father's belt. You choose. So either way. So she gave me some independence, she gave me a chance to choose. But unfortunately, you know, it wasn't. Yeah. So anyway, that's the choice that we have. So we can choose to stay, use our independence to stay in material life, to stay under the control of Durga Devi, or we can choose to stay under the control of Mahamaya, which is the spiritual energy of the Lord. So they are both Mayas. One is controls the material energy, the other one controls the spiritual energy. Or more precisely, Yoga Maya. So this is the choice that we have, so we can choose. So when we choose, when we one recognizes his position or her position in this world, and choose to do something about it, then this urge is what creates the beginning of our spiritual life. And it's a very simple thing. It's simply to have that desire. And from that desire, Krishna is within the heart and he makes all arrangements. Like Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, he said, You didn't have to come and search for me. I came and searched for you. I came and picked you up. And not only that, but he created their good fortune. So that's the bigger part. That not only that he came and solicited them, but he also created their good fortune and thus our good fortune, as we have here today. How many of us actually thought of, okay, you know, I'm going to search for Krishna, or I'm going to search for Krishna consciousness? No, it's actually someone who came into our lives. Every one of us can actually tell our story, I'm pretty sure, that we are out there in the wilderness and someone came and offered us this opportunity. So we had two choices. We can take it or we can leave it. So the ones who took it, you know, we have great benefits to get. And it's a long path, but the assurance is there. So Bhishma Dev, he performed these activities as a great Mahajan for our benefits. And it's described that he was consistently remembering the activities of the Lord as he was performing, carry on his duties in this world. He never forgot. And his relationship with the Lord was in a particular rasa, and that's with the Partha Sarathi form. So back in the Vaikuntha planets, there are different planets, and each form of the Lord has a separate planet. So it depends on one's swarup, one's constitutional original position, then one takes on, meditate on the Lord or serve the Lord in that particular form. So Bhishma Dev set that example as a Mahajan, and it's for all of us to follow. So it's a great opportunity that we are able to take guidance and shelter from these personalities and to understand these facts of life. And thus our life can become very successful. So I would like to stop here. If anyone has any questions, comments, or corrections, we can take them. So seeing that there are no questions, we can end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Can you say that again?
You read one commentary about clear consciousness.
Oh, that's Bhagavatam 3:26, 23 and 24. They're two verses together. And I read the verse and purport.